Well, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity every time we have to get together, especially around your word. Now, Lord, give me wisdom as we're finishing up this study in these next couple of weeks. And Lord, would you enable us to put together pieces that can be a help for these ladies. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As you may have heard in my prayer there, we are coming to the end of our book study. And I'm going to take a couple more weeks wrapping it up and bring in some highlights and so forth. And then we've got a new book that we will be sharing with you that'll start the last week of August, I believe it'll be. And so a new study with a different angle, that will be a blessing to you. So I won't take the time to explain it now, but trust you can be part of that, and we'll look forward to that time. I have appreciated this study personally. I feel like in her dealing with what a beautiful life is, she didn't fall into the trap of a lot of the sort of mixture of Bible and humanistic thinking. She was pretty straightforward on a lot of important issues that keep us from having the life that we should. In fact, we were able to cover some areas I probably wouldn't have the courage to cover were it not in the book over this period of time. So that worked well. And so we're thankful for that. So we are looking today at allowing the Lord to lead us. And I started into that 2 weeks ago when I was here right after Bible school. And we looked at the importance of believing that God will guide us. Now, you know, you can know a lot of principles, but do you really believe they're true? You know, it's one thing to have head knowledge and a theological creed that you follow. It's another thing to put your dependence upon the truths that that creed is talking about. We all know God leads us. We all know that, as James 1:5 says, God give us to everyone wisdom, and we can count on it. Yet, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of our life, it's another story. We get panicky. We rely on common sense. We have sometimes a default position of going on the basis of our emotions. Not a good thing, okay? And we will not stop and rest in the Lord and believe that on key decisions, and even not so key decisions, but still decisions that take time in our life, and what are we supposed to do, and what are priorities going to be, we've got to believe that God will lead. Now, one term that we often use, but often is misunderstood, is the term rest. There is a rest. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about that. Rest is not does not come when you have faith, though you do have a rest, when you trust God. Faith and rest are synonymous, how it is presented in that passage. In other words, you determine to rest. In other words, to have such confidence in your God that you know he's going to lead, for instance, that's our subject here, or he's going to do whatever he's told you to do. You know, a lot of people say, I'm trusting God, and you are anxious. Man, somebody come behind you and say, boo, you jump through the ceiling. Well, that's not real trust when you're, I'm believing God. Now I've been to places and big things where I have to really fight that. But a real test of the fact that we are trusting the Lord is rest in our soul. By the way, it's very good for your blood pressure. Seriously, if you can learn not to get so uptight about everything. And if you don't rest, you will jump the gun. You will jump the gun. You will make decisions you ought not make. You know, when you make any kind of purchase that's, that affects you at all, rest. Get wisdom from God. Be careful. Don't just jump. Impulsive buying, impulsive eating, impulsive use of time on things you want to do. So many times you look back and I wasted that day, I wasted that money. You know, it just really was not the hand of God on my life. Let me just say this, and I'm going to move on this. I'm sort of reviewing, but you ought to be able to look back at a day and say, God led me all the way. There is nothing like God gave me that. God gave me that little bit of wisdom. By the way, you only find that rest and the wisdom from the Lord in taking extended time in prayer at the beginning of the day. I cannot urge you enough. I don't know how many times in the latter part of an hour with God, all of a sudden the light turns on. Just in a simple way, not with bells and whistles and big whatever, but okay, that quiet small voice was the Lord. Fits in with what the Word of God says, and direction has been given over and over. So it's hard to hear the direction if you're not listening in a very good, solid time with the Lord in prayer. So that's very important. In fact, in the prayer journal that we use, you have that listening as the second to the last of the 5-minute sections. And after you've had a good 50 minutes with God, that listening is a very powerful time. And I can't tell you how many key things that God has led, even in the smallest things, He'll give direction. Or if you've prayed, you're resting in Him, and then He will give you direction as your day goes along. You know, He cares how you use the next hour. He cares what you decide to do with your kids. He cares very much about, should you spend that money or not? You know, $100 is $100. Is that really the right use of that money? Or whatever. And so you can trust Him. But a lot of times we are just so geared up, and we almost try to biblicize common sense. Do you know, oftentimes faith and common sense run headlong into each other. Now, God doesn't want us to be dumb and do silly things and spiritualize everything. Please understand. But many times steps of faith are, let's say, in an expenditure. Well, we need it now, got to do it. This is about as good as I'm going to find. And this quiet, small voice of the Lord, wait on me, wait just a little bit more. Wait till you see my hand in it. And I can't tell you how many times a little bit later, all of a sudden God does something. Find something far less. Realize I don't need it. You know, that happens a lot. And God gives you a deal, or sometimes God just gives it to you. You know, it's a lot of fun when God does that. I'm telling you, it's wonderful to have story after story of God answered that need instead of me getting all frantic and trying to make it happen. So just some different thoughts about this matter of believing that God will direct your paths. And of course, the writer used the most well-known verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And so that's a blessing. But I'm going to move on to the blessings of trusting God. She finishes this out, and we're going to be dealing with more things from the book in the next couple of weeks. But this final chapter, if you'll turn with me to Jeremiah 6, please, if you happen to have your Bibles with you. Jeremiah chapter 6. And verse 16. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find what? Rest. There it is, for your souls. But they say, we will not walk therein. All right, it's one thing to find the way God wants you to go. It's another thing to walk in it. And as I said, faith and God's leadership at times will go contradictory to your flesh, to what you want, to your priorities. But you'll never find rest to your souls unless you go on the paths that God gives you. And so there is blessing only and following the path of the Lord. If you go to Jeremiah 29, the same book there, wonderful passage on trusting the Lord and the great prophecy of God about the 70 years. And if ye shall seek me and find me, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. Those are great verses. But in verse 11, in that context, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end or to prosper you. In other words, ladies, get this. Everything God leads you to do is good. You say, well, I know I believe that. No, you don't at times. Neither do I. Satan comes along and says, if you follow the Lord, you will miss out on this. If you do this, you will not get this. You will be miserable. You will miss out. Is that not what teenagers face in their life, believing that God's way is really the great way? And you can tell, once a teenager starts walking with God and they realize knowing Him is far better than anything else, they're a totally different person. We're no different. We may be a little more sophisticated and pious in what we say, but there are a lot of things that we should do and we don't, because we really don't believe that's the best way. And so God's thoughts toward us are not of evil, but they're peace. And God wants to prosper us. He wants to give us an expected end. Everything is good toward the completion of the perfect development and usefulness of our life. And we have what we're created for. We're able to really enjoy life as God wants us to enjoy it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus says the same thing in a different way as He's talking about trusting Him with material possessions, not being caught up with this world. He's in the Sermon on the Mount here, and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you will have to endure great misery and deprivation. Well, that's the satanic interpretation of that verse. No, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, and he's talking about all the things God would do for you, all these things shall be added unto you. Anybody who's ever walked with God is going to say, don't miss out. It is just glorious. Not easy at times, certainly, but it's a fulfillment of the desire of your heart, and just God has the fullness of blessing. It is just glorious. If Jesus said it, is He going to do it? So if you'll seek Him first, what will He do? He'll give you all of these things. And listen, God is such a good Father. He just gives and gives and gives. Sometimes sometimes we are going through trials. He's giving us that, but even there we see the blessing. But oftentimes you stop and have to say, wow, I mean, look at what God's done just in the last week. You know, I need to stop and realize it's pretty overwhelming how good He is to us. Very familiar verses, Romans chapter 12. You could probably, many of you, quote those with me. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. My dad preached many messages on this. In fact, I don't know how he did it, but he went about 3 months on Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so I got thoroughly immersed as a kid in this these two verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to fleshly thinking of how you solve your own problems. But be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Faith in God, following His leadership, rather than your own thinking and the world's thinking, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When God says something's good, it's just flat good. Beautiful creation. When He created it, He said, it is good. And if we had seen creation prior to sin, we would just be amazed. And I'm telling you, the new earth is going to be, can you imagine how beautiful it's going to be? It's going to be good. We were in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. Anybody ever been there? Okay, it's a beautiful area. I commend that to you as a place if you're wanting to get away. Instead of the Rockies, you can go east and got a little different type of scenery there. But I was standing up on one mountain looking at another mountain, and I just thought of the grandeur of God, the beauty. And this, of course, our earth is scarred because of sin. But what He says is good is good. And but you got to believe it. Now, everybody here that's had any training biblically would theologically say, that's right. And you would tell somebody, if God says it, it's good, you can trust it. But then you face that in your life and you think, that's not what I want to do. He says, I want you to give that money to this. But I want to spend it on this. And so common sense kicks in. You got your needs. God had clearly put on your heart, I want you to sacrifice for this. And so you got a choice. Am I going to believe that God's perfect will for me is good and that he will give me all of these things and that it'll be much better than if I kept the money and bought that thing? Or am I going to go my own way and do my own will and be conformed to the thinking of this world? If you trust the Lord and are walking with him and give that sacrifice, listen, he'll not only meet that need, he'll meet many more needs. There will just walking with him is worth it. And by the way, it's wonderful when God takes whatever he tells you to give and he multiplies it in the lives of other people and ministry and reaching people with the gospel. We have a large faith promise program here for missions. Not one penny is ever lost in God's economy when you give sacrificially for that. And it's thrilling. Thousands and thousands of people that we're directly connected with are getting saved through the giving of God's people here. That's exciting. When you get to heaven, I am positive you're going to have, if you've been faithfully giving and faith promise, you're going to have converts of the missionaries that we support come up to you and thank you for giving. We see, we got eternity to talk about these things, so I think it'll happen. Won't that be worth it? I get the privilege of going to the places and having people there thank me with tears for having that missionary there and the meeting, the need of that and what God has done and seeing what God is, you know. So my point is, you don't lose a thing when you obey God. God may say, you know, you're depending way too much on that technology. You know, you're viewing too much entertainment. You are way too involved in social media. This is your coping mechanism. And I want you to set this much aside. I don't want you to be involved with this anymore. I want you to spend time reading books. I want you to be more involved with people. And he gives you specific things. And by the way, he'll speak to you like that. I've had a lot of people tell me, without even hearing preaching, I realize, no, this is not healthy, what I'm doing. And does you think your flesh will like that? Because we get habits coping. And it's very powerful. The dopamine hits of technology are very high. And to give up something takes the grace of God. But I'll guarantee you, God deals with you that way. You follow him. All of a sudden, your life becomes enriched. You begin meeting with him in Bible study. You take the time and you begin to interact with people. And your family connections get stronger. And you realize, what? Man, that's like, you know, I gave up not even something. It's like I gave up baloney that's half, already half corrupted for a tremendous meal, so to speak, you know, a feast. Always have to be careful now. Steak, I can't really say that because I'm not eating steak anymore. But anyway, but I still like steak, so steak meal or whatever. So we've just got to understand that whatever God says is good. And by the way, I just saw, there's all kind of statistics that come through, but I just saw a statistic that was amazing that I think it was only 20-some percent of millennials feel like they have a friend. That's amazing. That's terrible for 20-somethings and 30-somethings. At that stage in life, they ought to be cultivating strong relationships, but they've been living for likes on Facebook, let's say, but living an absolutely non-personal life. And there's a very lonely, lonely world out there. By the way, that is the reason the gospel right now is a powerful opportunity. I'm finding people are very open. They know that there's an emptiness in their soul. But I thought that was very, very interesting. And I feel, you know, sad about that. Okay, now, trusting the Lord means we need to trust the fact that when he says he forgives, he forgives. You say, well, how do we hop to that? Well, that's not hopping. That's one area of believing God that a lot of Christians, and I think ladies in particular, struggle with. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is to say the same thing that God says about your sin, not trying to cover it over, not trying to hide it, being honest about it before God, dealing with it if you have to with others because it has affected others, but just settling that and asking God for forgiveness. We know that He forgives theologically, but I'm telling you, a lot of ladies look for an emotion of forgiveness rather than trusting the Word of God. Now, just like I said, you've got to trust the Lord over your own desires and common sense and everything else. When He leads you, He will lead you. You can trust Him. His way is right. And you can count on that. He will always bless. You can count on the fact that He will forgive. But I think a lot of ladies feel very defeated. Now, we need to deal with sin. Sometimes you got to get help. I understand that. Sometimes there's getting right with others that is involved. But at the moment that you ask God for forgiveness, if you're sincere about that, did He forgive you? Did He cleanse you? He did. And not to believe that is unbelief. I think that hurts many, many, many ladies. You know, child rearing. I've done some things. I just, you're trying to work through with your kids and you're beating yourself down. See, one of the problems is when you hear a bunch of principles about child rearing, you begin to realize how selfish you've been. We've all had to face that. And so you can get discouraged. Now, let me just say this. Anytime you hear preaching that convicts you, the direction that you look is not to yourself, but to Jesus. Okay? Satan wants you to look at yourself and just say, I'm a bum. Now, we're all just bums, spiritually. Isn't that what the Lord said? Blessed are they that are poor, poverty-stricken in spirit. But we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We are the children of God. And so when we all of a sudden become aware of the fact, maybe even right now, some things I dealt with giving or I dealt with technology, and you're thinking, I'm just, I'm sort of hopeless. I just get caught in all this stuff. I'm just a mess. Well, join the club. Why don't we just call this the face-to-face big mess club, I'm including the preacher here, it's... Without God, we are just in real trouble, okay? But that's what He's all about, transforming us by the renewing of our mind. And so Satan wants you to get to look at yourself, and if you try to find yourself, you're going to be very discouraged. You need to find Jesus, who will give you freedom and victory, and He will forgive you. Right now, when God the Father looks at your life, if you're a genuine believer, judicially, does He see any sin? What does He see? The blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. That's wonderful right there. Why are you beating yourself down about something that Jesus allowed Himself to be beaten down for? Once you trusted Christ, He has saved you from your sins. By the way, if you're here this morning and are trusting in your own righteousness, friend, you're never going to get freedom, but the most tragic thing is you'll face God in your own sin, and by not turning to Christ, you will have to face everlasting life of judgment. And so many times people say, well, I can't quite figure it out, and I've had a different religious background. My friend, eternity is so big. Just like you had a big financial crisis and you got to get some help to know how to solve some logistical legal things, you go get help. I don't care how much it costs, right? Because you got to solve that problem. Well, eternity, that's a big, big problem. And I wouldn't let your pride or your background stop you. You need to get into the Word and let somebody here help you and know for sure that your sins have been forgiven. I am not perfect. I have sinned in my life, but I have the sinful nature in my life, but when it comes to my standing with God, I am as perfect as Jesus Christ. And I am going to go to heaven the moment I die on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for me and His righteousness. And friend, you need to have that same tremendous peace. But as believers, we need to believe that God is a forgiving God based upon Christ. Not because he's wishy-washy, but because Jesus died. He doesn't just arbitrarily forgive you. He forgives you on the basis of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's an exciting thing. But let me ask you today, are you still walking around feeling guilty? And you honestly have gotten right with God? That's unbelief. That sin is what's hurting you right now. You just need to say, Lord, I am sorry for not believing you. I confess that sin, and it is under the blood, and I'm going to rejoice today that I have a clean heart. That's faith. See, what happens is, Christians who do not get that glorious peace in their heart about a clean heart eventually begin to start wondering if they're even saved. Because they're bearing this guilt and they're thinking, well, maybe I didn't even do that. In other words, they get themselves all mentally messed up. And I find that many ladies look for a feeling, an emotion. Now, God will touch your heart. He will encourage you. He will give you rest. But don't look for a forgiveness emotion. He just wants you to trust Him. If He said it, does He mean it? Has He done what's needed so it's backed up by everything that's needed to be accomplished? Absolutely. So the minute you confess your sin, you need to get up and say, Lord, thank you. I've got a clean heart. I believe what you said. I don't deserve it. I want to live for you today. But if any guilt comes back, I'm just going to refuse that as from Satan, and I'm going to go on today being excited about serving you. It's a wonderful thing. And it's a problem. You know, trusting the Lord for direction and then trusting the Lord for forgiveness, those are two pretty big areas, aren't they? Because today you're going to be making multiple decisions about how you're going to use your time coming up. God can lead you. And you also are being affected by circumstances in your life. God will give you grace, but if you feel cut off from God because you're feeling guilty and you do not believe you're right with God, you are not going to have the strength to believe God about the right decisions. So that is why you've got to get freedom and rejoice in your salvation. It's very, and in the forgiveness of the Lord when you ask Him to forgive you. How are you doing right now in these things? Are you free? Are you bearing a burden? Now, maybe you have a guilt burden because you haven't gotten right with God. Perfect time right now, get right with God. You say, well, that means I may have to deal with something. Believe me, God will bless you for it. Don't let your flesh ever win. And Satan doesn't love you. He wants to destroy you. So if God's convicting you, well, then obviously trust the Lord. But if you have asked for forgiveness, or if God is showing you something that you, as far as leadership, are you willing to trust Him? Claim a clean heart and believe that God's going to lead you. Very basic. But I think many women, especially when you have children in the home, you go through whole days just beating yourself down, feeling like I'm not measuring up, and you just get yourself in a tough thing, and what happens there is you don't have the grace to handle your kids right. But you know, if you go through a day, I'm forgiven, God's working, you know, He's leading, God, He's giving me direction, and even in the midst of being tired and all the things you have to do, if you have that relationship with the Lord and there's vibrancy there with it, man, it changes everything for your kids. One of the most important tools of child rearing, I preached on this Sunday morning, is the joy of the Lord. Yeah, you can't have the joy of the Lord unless you're in the presence of the Lord. And so the joy of the Lord in your marriages, in your the contacts of people that you have is very important. But you can't have joy if you have guilt. You can't have joy if you're bucking God's leadership. It's just not going to work. So very practical, but I think very good. We haven't finished this lesson. We're going to continue on next week. But a very practical way for her to end this, because that's really what it gets down to. The beautiful life is the life that God has planned for us, not the life we have planned for ourselves. And we can trust Him, and His way is right, and it's best.